South Wrestling Podcast Network. How are you doing tonight? I'm here. This is Aaron. You've heard me on No Holds Barred. Hopefully by now you've also heard me on The Year That Was. And we are launching a new show for you tonight that I hope you'll enjoy. It's called From Montreal to Memphis. And I'm not doing this one alone. I got my buddy Reg. Hey, Reg. Reg is joining me on this journey. Reg is one of my oldest and best friends in the entire world.
Yeah, I'm responsible for a lot of the stuff you've heard.
Yes, a lot of the stuff I've heard and seen and hours of my life that I'll never get back.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. I'm happy to not have those hours. I'm happy to creep towards death. It's good.
Good.
But I don't know. Years ago, Reg and I recorded, I don't know what, like 60 podcasts?
Something like that. Something monumental like that, yeah.
70 podcasts?
It must have been in close to 100, if not
close to 1,000 podcasts. Yeah. Right? And then we erased them by accident.
Yeah. And by we mean me.
Yes. I was not going to do that. I was not going to say that.
Yeah. It was on my computer, and I don't even know how it happened, but I just emptied everything out. And so it only took us about 6 years to get back on track, and here we are.
And here we are. Here we are. Montreal to Memphis. Parlez-vous français?
Oui.
And look, we wanted to launch something new tonight because we're stuck at home, all right? We're in month 8 of the coronavirus.
Yeah. 50 million people have unfortunately succumbed to it.
Yes, yes.
But they've all recovered, so
they've
that's
all
fine.
Recovered. They've succumbed and recovered.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever heard the expression, you're going to wake up dead?
Yeah.
That doesn't
I think
make,
I have.
That doesn't make any sense, does it?
It doesn't. It sounds like it's a shameful thing. Lobster head. Does it come from that? The Seamus song?
No, I think I heard it in a movie.
Oh, okay. You're going to wake
you're
up dead.
You go to bed, you wake up dead.
It sounds like that.
Oh, you wouldn't wake up. That's the problem. So we want to launch something here where we take a tidbit of something that we saw on the internet, wrestling related, and we kind of just take it and see where the conversation goes. This was actually your idea, Reg.
It was. You came to me, Aaron, with the idea to do a podcast. You're like, what do you want to do? And I didn't know at the moment, but then I was thinking about it later. And what you and I do every day, it's like we're on Instagram and I'm on these wrestling sites, and funny clips will pop up and I'll just send them to you. It could be, you know, Sid jumping on the crushed car screaming, why me?
Why me?
Exactly. And it's like, you know, we relive the memories. And I just figured, well, isn't that like a funny launching off point to just discuss the moment and what was going on, and then just, you know, launch off to anything, you know, wherever that goes.
Yeah. And I think it's actually a great idea because, like, when we were doing our podcast a while ago, we were basically doing live watches.
Right.
Right. And that would mean you would need to commit at least, I don't know, 3 hours to listen with us.
Yeah, back then when pay-per-views were only 3 hours and not eight.
Now, yeah. WrestleMania 35, the 7-hour podcast.
Exactly.
I was at that WrestleMania.
Well, how was it?
Live. It was really good.
Okay.
It was really fun. Like, it's an interesting thing because you go live and you complain how long they are. Not when I say you, I mean me too, you know? But before that, I was complaining how long they were, why does it have to be that long? And then when you're there, I don't want to say it doesn't feel long. It does feel long, but you also don't want it to end.
Right.
And you also kind of get in the mindset of, like, you've taken this time, you've spent this money, you want to see everybody.
Right.
So, I don't know. Plus, I was with my son. He was really liking it. But I rewatched that WrestleMania about a month and a half ago for the project I was doing where I'm doing all the pay-per-view years. Mm-hmm. And it did not hold up well.
I didn't feel it held up well when I was watching it.
Why? It's got one. JT on No Holds Barred and I, we recently did a podcast where we ranked all the WrestleManias.
Oh.
And it finished surprisingly low.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing memorable about that show for me, except for the botched pin at the end. That's really all I can remember. And the really fast match at the top.
I think the Kofi win was great.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's
like,
right.
And I think the match was really great. You kind of have a great all-time moment, too. Like, but yeah, like it everything else was lacking. Here, out of 35 WrestleManias, we had it listed 25th.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say the mid-30s, like from 31 to 30, well, you know, they're all pretty much – it's hard to differentiate them, I thought.
I think 31 stands. We talked.
I didn't mean 31. I mean stopping at 31. Like 32 to 30. Yeah, I mean this year it stands out just because of the COVID thing. But 32 to 35, it's like, wait a minute, where was it? When was it? What was the main event? It was all jumbled together.
Well, and when we did it, this podcast came out, I don't know, about a month ago. It was right before Mania, and that actually finished last 32. That was our worst.
That was not a good WrestleMania.
No, Jesus Christ! I mean, Stephanie McMahon comes out at 11:45 at night and cuts a promo.
Oh yeah. You know, I remember that.
It's just absurd, right?
So yeah, it is. It is.
And you get that Shane Taker match, and it's a brutal match.
Yeah.
But we're not actually here to talk about WrestleMania. I'm sure we're going to bounce around and come in and out of it. So
yeah.
The clip, I think there's you send me most of these things, but this is one I actually sent you, I think.
It is, and I remember where I was when I read it, and I
on the toilet.
I was actually where I was today. I was at the grocery store parking lot, and you sent it to me, and I remember I was buying some costume stuff. Let's not go into why, but I bought a wig and a ukulele, and you know, as you do, and you sent this to me, and I stopped to read it, and I was like, this is just. This is gold.
Well, it's pure insanity, right? So it's from Jim Ross's book, okay? It's chapter 48. It's called Vince and Good Old JR, and it's from the year 1994. All right, so I'm going to give this a read.
Great year. Great year for everybody.
Great year for everyone.
It's in May. It's in this event. I looked it up. What they're describing is in – just to give a little bit of context.
Context.
They're leaving, I believe, is Youngstown, Ohio. So this was a TV taping leading into King of the Ring 94.
Okay.
Vince is about to go on trial for steroids. Yeah. Business is in the toilet at this particular point. He's about to leave the control position, you know, at the end of June for the first time ever. And not be present at a pay-per-view. So this is where things are at, and things aren't looking good. Hulk Hogan has just signed with WCW, and attendance. I mean, they're doing TV tapings in front of 1,000 people.
And spoiler alert, I'll just throw this out here. This chapter does not paint him in that light at all. He doesn't seem like a person.
Well, yeah, that's why I was setting it up, because you're going to see just all that in the background.
Yeah.
This is Vince.
Vince and good old JR, 1994. You're going to have to forgive me for my impressions. I'm not a very good impressionist. Jim, it's Vince. Oh, no, wait, that's Vince saying that. Hold on. Starting
toilet.
Okay.
All right.
Jim, it's Vince. Are you ready to go back to work? The boss called like nothing had ever happened. It had been about 4 months and they exercised their out clause in my contract. I was a little surprised to hear him on the line. Sure, I said. I want you to come back as a producer. You'll be JJ's assistant in talent relations. Sound like something you'd like to do for us? JJ Dillon was the former manager of the Four Horsemen in WCW, who transitioned to The Office when his time on TV was over at WCW. Please interrupt me at any time if you want to add anything to this.
Yeah, sure.
I can do that, I said. Absolutely.
So Jim Ross has been fired. Is this for? Did he get fired for the Bell's palsy attack?
Wasn't that later? I think he just got fired for being Southern.
Because he got fired. I don't even know why he had gotten fired. It was in the right after Royal Rumble 94. I know that. I know. I just don't understand why. And he had left WCW to come to WWF in 93. So
yeah.
There's your background.
Yeah. Why was
firing number one?
February 11th, 1994, after suffering Bell's palsy. So yes, it was a Bell's palsy attack.
Fired him for getting Bell's palsy.
For getting sick.
Yeah.
Fuck, are they going to fire the king when he dies because of COVID?
Well, they didn't fire him after the heart attack, so.
No, they didn't. You were with me that night,
I was
right?
with you, yeah.
And they didn't tell us anything in the building?
No.
Insane.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Vince said my role would be to do some TV producing at the TV studio and help out the other announcers. Before I knew it, he even had me producing him at Raw. I was in his ear with lines and information. There's no way he listened to Jim Ross. And although I wasn't announcing myself, I was just happy to be back on the team. It seemed like Vince was happy to be with me too. Jim, you ride with me, he said after a few weeks of Raw in the parking lot of the building. Vince had a big Cadillac waiting. I could tell the second he started the engine this was going to be a little bit of a white knuckle ride. What music do you listen to? He asked. Well, I... Before I could answer, McMahon blasted AC/DC through the car speakers, the sound of which made everyone turn to see the who the asshole was. You can just picture it. Have you ever been in that situation where you're like, what the fuck?
Who yeah, you put your head down into your hands.
Turn to see who the asshole was.
Yeah, with the flat box haircut.
How old was he here? Like 45 years old, blasting AC/DC out of a Cadillac.
Yeah, and like, what's he wearing? I'm sure it's something like tight black jeans with some sort of vest and like a bright red shirt underneath or something.
See,
something.
I'm picturing him in the full Zubaz tracksuit.
The Zubaz from the early 90s. Yeah. Yes. Did you see the shot from WrestleMania 9 when they're setting up the ring?
Yes.
He's wearing a he's wearing a baseball jersey tucked into slacks. Tucked into slacks. Not just a baseball jersey and slacks together, but a baseball jersey tucked into the slacks.
Hey, man, he thought he was a baseball player that day. I'm sure he was wearing something regarding Ico Pro.
That's probably what it was, yeah.
A hat or...
Yeah, exactly.
For sure had an Ico Pro keychain or something. Ugh. When they saw it was the chairman's car, they all smiled and waved. Because of course they did.
Oh, so it's the road crew that turned around. They're probably exhausted after an entire night of taping.
I picture him just screaming at them nonstop, too.
Yeah, like, but yeah.
He either ignores them or screams at them.
Yeah.
We reached the road outside the building, and Vince floored it. I honestly thought I was going to die before we made it to the highway. I was stuck to the back of my seat, praying to the Lord himself for a safe journey. Beside me, Vince was singing at the top of his lungs, punching 90 miles an hour on a secondary road.
I need to know what AC/DC song this is that he's singing to.
Okay, what could it be?
Walk This Way? And no, that's Aerosmith, yeah. Sorry.
Anarchy.
Yeah.
Is it Highway to Hell?
It very well probably is.
You Shook Me All Night Long?
You Shook Me All Night Long.
Yeah, You Shook Me.
Does he go into the falsetto?
Yeah, You Shook Me. singing at the top of his lungs, punching 90 miles an hour on a secondary road, all the while dancing in his seat.
On a secondary road, yeah, so 90 miles an hour.
It could very well be a school zone.
It's probably one of those like one laner highways.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe a one way street. This man is insane.
Yep. Yes. And he's dancing. He's dancing.
There's nothing like Vince dancing. Do you know why he's dancing? We go back to the text. I'm an amazing dancer for a white man. He shouted over the music. I want to know how loud the music was and how loud he had to shout to get over it. I can see that. I shouted back. Any car he met along the way.
Is JR holding his hat, you think?
I don't think he has it. He's probably holding. When my dad taught me how to drive when I was 16, he would constantly have his hand on the glove box and he'd brake as though there was a brake in the passenger seat.
Oh, like with his foot?
Yeah, he'd bring his leg up and slam down on the ground.
That's amazing.
And he would also yell, look out.
That's what my mom would do. And we weren't even learning. I'd already had my license.
Yeah.
And she would hang on to the, you know, the thing on the door there where you put your hand, you know, to open it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like gripping it. She's gripping it. And I'm like, I'm not that bad. I am not that bad at all.
And look, yelling look out
is the worst thing you can do.
Look out for what?
Yeah.
It could literally be anything.
Yeah.
Any car he met along the way, Vince drove inches from their trunk until they moved over.
Okay, so now I'm guilty of that on the highway. I'm guilty of that. But I'll do it like if – okay, so in Canada we're kilometers, so it's 118 kilometers I'll go.
Yeah.
Which is what, 72?
Maybe.
Yeah, so I'll go in the passing lane and I'll do – you know, and I'll give him some courtesy, but I'm not going 90. I'm not going 90.
Yeah, right?
Those are the pickup trucks on the highway. You know those ones, the pickup trucks that are just blaring everyone out of the way.
That's the kind of thing that Vince would say, like, it's like that's what he relates to.
Yeah.
I'm just a country guy. I'm a redneck at heart.
I'm a country dog, pal. I'm a North Carolinian. South Carolinian.
Father abandoned me. We're going to get into that. Vince drove inches from the trunk until they moved over. Sensing my terror, he leaned into me, taking his eyes completely off the road, and shouted in my ear, I've got amazing depth perception. Don't worry, pal.
Yeah.
Imagine saying that to a guy who's terrified.
Yeah, yeah. But he's not saying it. It's a Vince McMahon scream.
Isn't this unbelievable?
Yeah, exactly. Like, remember, he's going to court in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
He's going to court in 5 weeks. He could lose the – he could go to jail in five – he doesn't – he sounds – he's – maybe he knows he's not. I don't know, but yeah.
I've never heard anyone brag about their depth perception.
No.
Not even professional baseball players. It's their entire it's their entire job is depth – or golfers.
Like, yeah.
Like Tiger Woods, I don't think he ever used that to get laid. Got amazing depth perception. Don't worry, pal. Okay.
Okay, pal.
That's all he has to say. Vince continued to gyrate in his seat as he weaved through traffic. He then stopped to the song mid-solo. The silence, after such a jarring burst of sound, was deafening. His demeanor completely changed. He went from bombastic and animated to somber and quiet. "I want you to hear this," he said in a low voice. "Hear what?" I said. I was afraid I'd miss whatever it was Vince was letting me in on. He seemed pained, almost confessional. "You can't hear that?" he said, putting his finger to his lips. I didn't want to sound like a jackass, so I listened as carefully as I could. He didn't want to sound like a jackass.
Yeah, exactly.
To the man who just said, "I've got amazing depth perception." "You hear it, Jim?" he asked, a little more impatiently. I thought I heard something in the trunk. My first thought was they've put longtime employee Howard Finkel in the trunk as a rib.
Which is, okay, so the fact that he would say that means that they've done horrible things to Howard Finkel.
That poor man.
Can't breathe!
Is it in the car? I asked. "Jesus Christ, listen, will you?" he growled. I closed my eyes and listened as hard as I've ever listened for anything in my life. "Here it is. Here it is," he said, and he began to fart, a long, bass-filled flatulence that eventually finished with a smile of pride from the chairman. "You hear it now?" he asked, and then cackled with laughter. I made a split decision not to sell it in any way. I sat facing forward like nothing had happened. McMahon was so happy with himself. "You know how I get the longevity and the smell, Jim? Protein. I eat nothing but fucking protein, pal!"
This is a caricature of a man. I wanted you to get through to the end, but I couldn't help it. This is a caricature. This is a Saturday Night Live character at this point.
But a real human who's this yeah. man's boss.
Yeah.
Like this poor
real
guy.
Real fucking protein. Like
I eat nothing but fucking protein.
But that is what a character like him would do. But I mean a character, not a human.
Yeah, I know. "Yeah, it wasn't that impressive," I said. Vince swiveled his head in my direction like I just insulted his wife or something. "What?" he asked with menace. He was serious, offended even. I couldn't back down. It was a test. I was sure it was. "Well, I've been around the business for over 20 years now, Vince. Robert Gibson." Vince locked the windows and let another one go. Twice the volume. Twice the smell. He watched my reaction intently as we continued to tear along the highway at speed. His creation was putrid, but I knew if I told him that, he'd just keep doing it. So I sat and waited for the smell to stop burning my lungs. "How about that one?" Vince asked. He hated to be beaten at anything, even farting competitions. He studied my reaction until the blue lights in his rearview window caught his attention. "Ah, shit," he said as he pulled over. "Was I speeding, Jim?" "Just a tad." "Why didn't you say something? God damn it, pal!" The Ohio State Trooper approached McMahon and rolled down his window. I took a covert, life-saving breath of fresh air as the trooper asked for his license and registration. We've just finished producing our national TV broadcast, Monday Night Raw," Vince said as the trooper looked.
Which no one's watching at this point. Which no, they just got off with Doink the Clown and Jeff Jarrett wrestling on that show.
"I'm Vince,
and I'm not making that up. That's on the history of WWE.
"I'm Vince McMahon," he said before pausing for effect, "and this here is good old JR beside me." Good old JR, I thought. Have I not got a real name?
That's where it came from. A fart-smelled car.
Shitting in a car and talking to a cop. "So you're Vince McMahon?" the trooper asked as he leaned in the window a little. "I am. the chairman said proudly. Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Why did he have to say his full name?
There's always the middle one when it's serious.
To a police officer.
Yeah. He said it to Stone Cold Steve Austin many times.
There's usually a damn it after McMahon.
Yeah, exactly.
And the cop replies, well, I guess that makes me the big boss man then. The trooper said as he handed McMahon a speeding ticket. Have a good night. Vince put his window back up, and I was expecting the chairman to explode. But instead he turned to me and said, you're doing real good for us. I wish I could clone you. That was a compliment out of nowhere. Thank you. You're better at farting than Robert Gibson, too, I said as he took us back onto the road. You don't mean that, he replied. I do. Vince watched the cop car that pulled him over disappear and then floored the pedal again. So that is where we're starting.
By the way, I love the fact that the cop put over the competition because Bossman was in WCW at that point.
Was he the guardian angel at that point?
Yeah, he was. Yes, Boss, he was.
Man, is he big.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Is this not a perfect encapsulation of who this person is?
Yeah, that's the person who's has the entire company right now in Florida with a COVID-19 outbreak. Hey, wrestling.
They're an essential business.
Yeah, we're an essential business, damn it.
Did you see he got a shout out from Trump today?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, like Trump mentioned him in a press conference. Called him the great Vince McMahon.
The great Vince McMahon. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. He's going to be one of the guys advising on how to reopen the economy.
I guess so.
Yeah. So you and I have talked about this a lot in the past, never on air, about how crazy what we think Vince McMahon is, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is he?
A psychopath.
He's a psychopath. What, like, I mean, that just encapsulates everything that's wrong with him.
Yeah. Yeah. He loves his own insanity, though.
Yeah, and
what it seems like from this.
And it feels like he thinks his insanity is brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, imagine being so crazy that you can't lose a farting contest to a man that's not even there.
Yeah, to a guy you've already fired.
Yeah. Like, why does he care?
Oh, to Ricky Morton. Yeah, that's right. Or Robert Gibson. Right.
Well, why does he care?
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I know.
Why does he care what Jim Ross thinks?
He just loves dominating him, I guess. Because it really, remember that sketch in 2005 where he had like Jim Ross pulling all the stuff out of Jim Ross's ass or whatever it was?
Yeah,
remember
that? Mr. Heine.
It was disturbing and they had fired him and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, it just reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Just putting him through all this unnecessary stuff.
But that's his whole MO. Like, he did the same thing to Trish Stratus, right?
Right.
Making her bark like a dog.
Yeah. This is a guy who's clearly been bullied when he was a kid and now became that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, he spent time in the military and he didn't know his dad or his real dad and on and on and on. So I can't remember what it was.
His
but
mom's
it's like,
name was Juanita.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
His
okay,
mom's name
yeah.
is Juanita.
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, this is just a very strange individual. But, yeah, no, it was beautifully put together. That whole chapter was just beautifully written, by the way.
Yeah, I would like to read that whole book. I bet he's really funny.
Yeah, because he's the guy who's, you know, who's known what Vince was up to, and he's known his decision-making and that kind of thing. But, yeah, this is a crazy man.
Yeah, a crazy man. And that's shown right now with what he's doing with his talent. Like, they have a talent that is tested positive somewhere, an on-air person. And they're still dragging everybody in.
Corey Graves. Yeah, exactly.
Is it Corey Graves?
Well, that's the first one I thought of. And then people were asking Carmella if she was okay. So I'm assuming it's Corey Graves.
Carmella's not okay if she's dating him at all. But that's a whole other story.
No, but she shouldn't really – he's married. She shouldn't really be dating him. That's a whole other thing. But yes, I bet his wife is probably happy about that. But yes.
I hate Corey Graves.
Yeah, no, he's really –
like, I was fine until he started all the Twitter stuff.
Mixing it in with Zen meditation and that kind of thing. Like, when he told his wife to just be in the moment when she caught him cheating. Like, it was like, what? Or she said something about, like, he said something about her ego getting in the way and she's not in the moment. And it was like, all right, you're a tool.
Well, you're just asking for a threesome. If you get caught cheating, you're asking to be in the moment. It's be in this moment right now.
Yeah, be in this moment, yeah. Put the kids to bed.
Put the kids to bed.
Yeah, no, he's a bit of a tool. Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't like him. And it's not a surprise that Vince does.
No. So what do you think is going through Vince's mind at this point in 94? Is he, because he's about to go to trial and Hogan's going to be testifying and businesses couldn't be any lower.
Look, well, like, I feel like he, because the narrative after, whenever you watch any of these documentaries, is always like, it's always like, oh, we thought it was over. We thought we were going to, he always presents it as though it's like, it's almost worst case scenario, right?
Right.
But I don't believe that he actually believed that. I think he views himself as invincible. And yeah. I think he has a – he views the – it's him against the world and everything, even when he's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So he – I mean, he probably – I don't know if he distributed steroids, but he certainly encouraged it, right?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we all saw who was pushed in the 80s. It was
Adam Cole wouldn't have gotten a fucking sniff at the roster in 1980.
Brock Lesnar would be, like, in the mid-card. He's, like, too pudgy.
Right?
For that era.
Yeah, so, like – but then he always presents it as though he's the victim.
Right. Like, especially with Nitro, where he was the one who had, like, crept onto WCW television in the 80s.
Yeah.
And gotten them kicked off or whatever that was in the South. And then it was, oh, they're trying to put me out of business in the 90s.
Yeah, they're just doing a wrestling show. Like, they're allowed to do their own wrestling show on their own network.
Yeah.
And like, all these guys that you don't want to hire, are they just supposed to not work?
Yeah, like, exactly.
You could tell his attitude with the Stephanie McMahon speech from the September 11th SmackDown.
What was it?
Well, it's basically like, we're going to her whole thing was like, we're going to come back as a nation the same way my father came back when we were attacked by the federal government.
But like, oh, that's odd.
But you were doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, you were doing what you're, like, you, maybe you didn't distribute, but it was shady enough that, like, they had every right to look into you.
Now, there is a clip, and I wish we could pull it up, because I don't want to give the name of it because it's very dirty, but it's basically, the name of the clip on YouTube is, Did Pat Patterson, Roddy Piper, and Brutus the Barber Beefcake? And it's a clip of Vince McMahon and three other people on Donahue. Did you see that?
I did, a long time ago.
How awful was that? He gets owned by this guy. I've never seen the guy on WWF television, but apparently there was a guy on WWF television. He was youngish, good-looking guy, very smart.
Is it Barry O?
No, he was a broadcaster, apparently.
Okay.
And he basically says, but I believe Barry O was on that show because there was three people and Vince, and they're sitting at a table.
Yeah.
And this broadcaster was basically like, you fired me because I wouldn't have sex with your VP.
It's Murray Hodgson?
Something. It might be that. Yeah. And basically Vince just like retorts back. Well, first of all, let's just make it clear. Okay. You were a terrible announcer and that's why you were fired. And just loses the audience right out of the gate. Just completely loses the audience. And it just descends from there. But from that moment, all he kept repeating was, we should get to the bottom of this. That's why I'm here. I want to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was no compassion on that guy who basically got fired when he complained about Pat Patterson.
Do you believe,
which is shocking, shocking revelation there that Pat Patterson would do anything to a young, good-looking guy.
A young, good-looking guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I looked at that and I was like, wow, that is Vince McMahon right there, too.
Well, he's like that on any mainstream interview he does. Everything is so confrontational all the time.
Bob Costas.
Bob Costas. When he used to do Off the Record with Landsberg.
Yeah, he was a little more reserved compared to the other ones.
But it's still not comfortable.
No.
Like,
very awkward.
It's like he can't exist in a world that he doesn't create.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And yet he hates the world he's created.
In what way?
Well, I think I've been operating under the hypothesis for a while that he hates being a wrestling promoter.
Oh, where he wants to make it into Hollywood.
Everything else.
Right.
Like, and he's done everything in his power to kind of change what wrestling is. And I don't want to say kill wrestling because I think that's too far. I'm not Jim Cornette here. But, like everything he's ever done seems to be about getting away from wrestling.
Yeah, and it is. And it's funny because wrestling is kind of a subgenre. It is. It's not quite the other kind of entertainment. It's like what we like is this hokey world of, you know, half, you know, fictional character, half real life, half sport, half – that's a lot of fractions in there. But
too many halves.
You know, yeah, too many bad, but it's like this make-believe world that drew us in as kids, and it's colorful and bright and all that kind of thing. And he inherited that, and he doesn't want that.
But he didn't inherit it. He bought it.
Yeah, like, yeah, I guess so.
He went after it, and then everything he's done since then seems to be like he hates it. Like he won't even let you use the word wrestling anymore.
Right.
You're not allowed to say wrestling.
So you were gonna say there was that list of banned words that that he had?
Well, I mean, I got a list of all his rules. This came out a few years ago, but I think it might be fun to kind of look at them and see which ones that he himself broke.
Okay.
Okay. So here, I'll just start at the top. Do's. Take the high road. This is for his commentators. Take the high road. Don't be crude, especially with the divas.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he's broken that one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, okay. Yeah. wasn't that the time where the thing came out about him calling Lillian Garcia horse face?
Yep.
Okay. Just so we're clear.
Get some context.
Okay.
Make your notes on superstars and keep it up to date. Okay. I have a problem with this one because I just watched the 1988 Royal Rumble.
Right.
And the Jumping Bomb Angels are wrestling. And he's like, Jesse is like, which one of the Bomb Angels is which? And Vince is like, I don't know. We'll call them red and pink. And Jesse says something. And Vince replies, what else are we supposed to do? How about learn their fucking names, Vince?
They're the Chinese wrestlers, damn it.
They're Chinese. Yeah. Sit up straight on camera, dress professionally, talk to your partner, and glance at the camera more often, depending on the moment. Now, that seems fine.
All right, that's all right.
The use of topical info as analogies and examples is effective if not forced.
Yeah, that is Vince from the 80s and the 90s, bringing in like any kind of pop culture reference.
Yeah.
That had nothing to do with the situation.
Do you think he hated working with like Bobby Heenan?
Well, because he would always no-sell the jokes when Heenan would say something great, and then Vince would go, I see.
Yeah, he didn't know how to improvise. He's a terrible improviser.
Yeah, I don't think he enjoyed Bobby Heenan.
Also, because Bobby Heenan makes all kinds of references that are really old.
Yeah.
Lawler would do that, too. He must have hated him, too.
Well, he didn't – yeah, I guess he did, because there was no chemistry. Because if you look at it, Lawler had incredible chemistry with JR. Heenan had incredible chemistry with Gorilla. And Vince worked with both of them.
Yeah, right.
So who's the odd man out there?
Fully understand the history and heritage of the business as it gives what we're doing today more credibility.
Mm.
Yeah, that seems like a Vince McMahon thing.
Yeah.
Have fun. You're a fan. If you don't like this, why should anybody else? The man hates wrestling.
Yep.
Vincent does not want to use the phrase granddaddy of them all for WrestleMania going forward. He feels it makes WrestleMania feel old. Also, we never want to use the term choked out or the word choke at all. We have renamed Undertaker's submission the triangle submission hold.
Wow. I guess is this in the PG era?
Yeah, I think it's 2010.
And also probably UFC is like doing huge numbers at this point too, right?
Yeah.
But still.
Triangle submission hold?
Yeah. The triangle submission hold.
Since 2010, this is like after it's already called the Hell's Gate.
Just
call it that.
Yeah.
It's like when Trudeau corrected the woman, or Justin Trudeau corrected the woman and told her we don't use mankind anymore, we use peoplekind.
Peoplekind, yeah. Exactly.
Instead of humankind,
which yes.
is the word we already have.
Well, you know Trudeau. He's a moist talker.
Fucking idiot. Please never use the words title-changing hands again. Titles are won or lost. They don't change hands. I'm sure he said that.
I'm sure he came up with that phrase, changing hands.
Do not use references of five-star match or match of the year by commentators if the match meant nothing.
Well, then that speaks a lot.
Yeah.
Then. That really, that tells you why the mid-card is – that's why Ricochet is in hell right now. And Apollo Crews is can't do anything, and that explains Cesaro's career. So he can have a 5-star match or a 4-star match, and it won't mean anything.
Yeah. I watched Starrcade 85 the other night, and Terry Taylor fights Buddy Landell.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd is going fucking crazy, and the announcers are treating it like it's the most important thing in the world. And for that brief moment, I was invested in a Terry Taylor match. But
and a Buddy Landell match.
I don't understand how they had Buddy Landell on Starrcade in NWA with Ric Flair there.
I kind of like that, though. Today, I understand you would never have that today, but I kind of like that when you'd have like the copy version of the real thing.
The shitty copy of the real thing.
Yeah.
I guess.
It just reminds me of Royal Rumble 92, like when everyone's coming out for Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And then Valentine comes out, and Valentine is kind of, he's like a tough Flair.
Yeah.
The same, figure four, long robe, white hair.
Yeah.
You know, and then he comes out, I'm like, oh yeah, it's like Ric Flair beta.
How much do you think Ric Flair would trade to like not age like Greg Valentine?
Greg Valentine looks the exact same. Well, Greg Valentine has always been 65 years old.
Him and Arn Anderson came out of the womb at 65.
At 65, yeah. It's Greg like Valentine, that... yeah, is 65 when he lost the tag titles at WrestleMania 2.
It's like that Saturday Night Live skit with Will Ferrell when he comes out fully grown.
Fully grown, yeah.
Ted Brogan.
Ted Brogan.
He's got this crew of friends.
Yeah.
Describe the WWE superstar. If you describe who guys are, it gives them life and character as opposed to being a champion.
So this is where you get your stupid nicknames.
Say, the arrogant World Heavyweight Champion Jack Swagger. Always try to be more descriptive with the WWE superstars instead of just calling them WWE Champion John Cena or World Heavyweight Champion Jack Swagger. If you're more descriptive, you build their character. Do you remember when guys built their own characters?
I remember that. And they weren't called Lunatic Fringe without ever mentioning it themselves.
Yeah, he never called himself that, eh?
He never did.
Well, because it doesn't make any sense. What is it?
It was for people like I guess protesters or conspiracy theorists, but it's an old reference term. It's like it's a Vince term that he would understand that nobody else does because nobody uses that term.
Well, my favorite thing about that phrase, but I'm sure there's many other examples too, is when they recycle it. Because in 2003, they're calling Brock Lesnar the Lunatic Fringe.
Do they call him the Lunatic
Fringe? Oh, yeah, yeah. I forget which pay-per-view it's at. It's at one of the ones where he's a heel. I think it's in the summer or maybe in the fall, but they're calling him the Lunatic Fringe.
There was nothing fringe about him, though.
No.
And there was nothing lunatic about him. He was just a tough guy who wrestled.
Just a fucking beast that wrestled.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
NCAA champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, the nicknames are – when it stopped being things that people would actually call themselves. You know when I first – I mean, I'm sure it's been there a long time, but I really noticed it with Dolph Ziggler when they started calling him the show-off.
Right.
Who calls himself that?
Yeah, I'm a show-off.
I'm a show-off. I'm the show-off. Like,
yeah.
That's not going to get over. No wonder they killed him dead.
That's not a show-off thing to say.
Yeah, yeah, he would say, I'm great, or I'm hot.
I'm great, I'm really good. Just go right to what the thing is.
I'm banging Vicky Guerrero. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Wow, okay. Yeah.
Well, that's what he was doing. He was having sex with Vicky Guerrero.
Right.
Vince would like to reinforce to all the announcers not to say, the referee didn't see it when the referee doesn't see any legal action. It makes the product feel cheap, like when we're in grade school. It's okay to say, the referee's vision was impaired, or the referee's vision was blocked.
It makes us feel we're in grade school. In what context in grade school does a referee's back get turned?
In what other sport does a referee...
Are we in class and like the ref didn't see it when you're throwing a pencil at somebody? Like what?
Can you imagine a hockey game? The referee gets hit by a puck and they keep playing?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Sorry, that goal didn't count. Those 8 goals the Habs scored. Referee was unconscious on the ground.
Vision was impaired.
His vision was impaired. Do not use the word hatred. For example, Triple H and John Cena's hatred for Randy Orton.
Oh, because, yeah, all right.
Can't hate people.
I can see that. But you can't hate people in a PG era. Yeah.
So it's no surprise we probably haven't had a good feud in, like...
Well, okay, so what is the last great blood feud we've had? There's no blood, but...
Blood feud?
Yeah. And by blood feud, I mean... like a lengthy feud that was really good that had a good payoff. Was it Jericho and Shawn Michaels?
That's what I was going to bring up. That's okay. Not just a series of matches.
Right. That starts at Hell in the Cell.
I could say you could probably convince me Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens.
Okay.
That's not bad. They're angsty stuff, and they carry it through, and it looks like they hate each other, but...
Did they finish it?
Well, Sami Zayn beat him at the Battleground 16.
Okay.
I guess in theory, that then they never did anything with Zayn.
Right.
I guess when you're handed an actual baby face, they don't know what to do.
Right. Turn your heel.
Yeah.
But apparently, he's doing great as a heel, though. He's doing a good job.
He's funny. He's funny, and he's good at it. But, like, a company that's so starved for good guys... It's like Vince thinks this guy's an... Here's a perfect example of him dominating. I remember reading somewhere that Vince thinks Sami Zayn's annoying, so he's a heel. Meanwhile, he's probably the most organic babyface they've had in, what, the last 10 years?
Well, that ties into how Vince is... And I don't remember where I read this or where I heard this. It's like when you come into WWE, Vince will want to know things about you and then tie that into your character.
Right, but that's actually a good thing.
It is, but it's also unoriginal. On its extreme, it can be unoriginal, but also it's like his impression of the person now is the character.
Right. Remember the guy that fell? You're the falling guy now.
You're the falling guy, Titus. Yeah.
And you're going to fall under the ring again. Yeah, I'm always baffled why – I mean, the whole Roman Reigns push is him dominating his will over everyone, right?
It is.
And it's not a slight on Reigns. I think he's actually a pretty good performer. It's just nobody wants him.
I thought about that. I was thinking about that. Nobody wants him. And was it the Warrior that I was thinking about, SummerSlam 91, when Warrior held Vince up for pay?
Yeah.
So, like, when Vince – like, knowing what we know about Vince and then having to deal with all the stars that he had created – and then how they would fight back eventually, like most of them did at a certain point, you know,
right.
Bret, Hulk, Savage, all the way up the line,
Gilbert.
Right? Yes. Austin. But then The Rock left and then Brock left. I think he got tired of competing with his own talent. And so he is now willfully not making any stars.
Right.
So it's like Reigns is like the best of the ones who won't be a star on their own.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It like does.
Yeah. Because like Punk could have been a star on his own. And then Punk could happen again, right? It totally happened again with Punk.
Right. But a Punk they ruined.
Well, they willfully – that's what I'm saying. He pops out of nowhere and here's gold into his hand in 2011 – and then he's jobbing in Triple H and then apologizing to him.
The apology. It's not even the loss. It's the apology.
Yeah, exactly.
It breaks
you
the
were
characters
right.
back.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
were right to Triple H.
Yeah.
It's funny because then why not in like 15 push Daniel Bryan? Like that guy's not going anywhere. You know what I mean? Like he's not going to do movies or get bigger than the business. Like.
Does that like make – because Vince – the other thing we know about Vince is he likes him big. He likes the big boys.
Right.
So like does that emasculate Vince's philosophy just by pushing Daniel Bryan?
Maybe. Because like Daniel Bryan's a small guy. And when you look back at his former small guys, they weren't actually that small.
No.
Like Bret Hart's not – he's a small guy compared to Hulk Hogan. But he's not a small guy.
Nope.
Neither Shawn Michaels. You know, you see him on Baywatch. He's dwarfing everybody, right?
Randy Savage.
Yeah. Massive.
Right, and we consider those the small guys.
Yeah. That's just a testament to how big everyone else was too, though, right?
Like, very true, yeah.
Yeah, it's such a strange thing, and it ties into something else. Like, I don't know, I don't even know if we've talked about this, but they've ceased pushing guys that are the best at something. You know what right. I mean by that is, like, when they pushed... when they pushed Hogan, he was the best of when they based the company around somebody. When they based the company around Hogan, he was the best at charisma, right? Like far and away, and you can make an argument maybe best at interviews. Who knows? You know, right? But top charisma for sure.
He had magic touch.
Yeah. When they built the company around Bret for that short period of time, he was the best in ring, right? When they based it around Austin, he was the hottest character. He was the best talker in the company at that point, I would imagine. Then they
best
based
brawler.
Best brawler. They based it around The Rock. He was the best talker, most charismatic. I would even say when they based it around Cena, he was like the hottest one, right? But lately, they've based it around Reigns and around Seth Rollins. And neither one of them are the best at anything.
Mm.
Like, I think someone might be like, well, you could make a case for Seth Rollins as the best in ring, but that's not true.
That's so not true. You have a lot of talent.
Yeah, like, and it's almost like a curse with just how good their talent pool is now, too, right? But even on Raw, there's like way better. Like, Aleister Black is way better in ring than Seth Rollins, and he's barely on the show, you know?
Is Cesaro on Raw?
I don't know.
Is that whole collective, that the collective group?
No, they're on SmackDown. They're on SmackDown.
They're on SmackDown? Okay.
But I mean, they have Nakamura,
That whole collective is better than Seth Rollins.
AJ Styles is better than Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
And he's been on the show. So he's not the best in ring. He's certainly not the best talker. He's not the most over. He's not the most charismatic. Like, what are you best at that justifies you being pushed? I can get behind, like, it's stupid, right? But, like, I could get behind them pushing Braun Strowman. He's the biggest and looks the most intimidating.
Could it be he's the best looking big guy when we're talking about Roman?
That, I think that's the only thing he has.
Yep.
Yeah, but
he's the most good looking guy that Vince likes physically. This really sounds like we're going off in a different direction here, but you know, of the mold of, like, you know, you want him to be at least 6 feet whatever and 270 whatever, of those guys and up, he's the best looking. So that's who you got.
Yeah.
Because Braun was super hot in 2017.
Yeah, they should have pulled the trigger on him. I don't know why they didn't pull the trigger on him then.
Yeah, and it wasn't even that they didn't pull the triggers, they jobbed him out in like 10 minutes to Brock Lesnar. Like, they could have extended that feud. They could have, like, you could have had Braun, like, almost beat Brock Lesnar within an inch of his life, and then, you know, somehow there's a schmoz at the end, and then you extend that, you know, make it super hot where, like, Lesnar's actually afraid of somebody.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting.
And then they spend the next year doing nothing with him.
Yeah, he was always the substitute whenever Reigns would go down. This is like the third time this has happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's more over than Reigns.
Always has been, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's hard to gauge with Reigns because, like, he's certainly more of as a face, but he does get amazing reactions, Reigns, right? They're just not.
Does he?
Well, yeah, because it's so – it's calmed down a bit ever since he beat cancer.
Right.
Ever since he Superman punched cancer.
Oh, so the reactions being the booze, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, nobody was getting a reaction. That's an argument you can make for Roman, is that no one got a reaction like he did.
Right, but not because of anything Roman himself did. It was because of the position he was put in. Yeah,
and exactly. that's not when they started pushing him either.
Like, no.
It was a weird thing when they pushed Roman, because I don't know if you remember. So the Shield breaks up in 2014, right? They have that feud with Evolution, and then Seth Rollins turns on them for whatever, right? And then the next pay-per-view is Money in the Bank, and there's Money in the Bank for the championship, and there's the Money in the Bank for the Money in the Bank. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose are put in the Money in the Bank for the Money in the Bank. Roman is put in the Money in the Bank for the championship for no reason. And I think that was a major mistake. They just they boosted him up with no credibility. Like, the Shield was like a main event act as an act. Like, as a group. The same way Demolition was, like, for a while, a main event act almost, you know?
Right.
But then as soon as you break them up, no one really cared about all the parts to the main event level.
Yeah, and also the three-man team was something brand new for us, too. We had never seen that.
Yeah.
It's so common now where you have three members of a team, but back then it was like, well, three? We've heard of a stable of four, and we know about tag teams, but we never had three.
Yeah, I mean, unless you go way back and you're talking about the Freebirds.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, no. And it's a really weird thing. And so, like, I don't understand what possessed them to push him that like that then, when you had people on the roster that were more over than he was. Like, Ambrose was more over than he was at the time.
Yeah, the timing of that. So what are we talking, 2014 going into 2015?
Yeah, like 2014, he does that. He fights Randy Orton at SummerSlam, and then he gets hurt.
Right.
And then he comes back, and that's when you get the series of awful promos.
He was ice cold at that point.
Yeah, suffering succotash. And he shows up in NXT and cuts a promo, and it's awful.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then he wins that Rumble.
Because here's what's interesting is that a lot of people forget, I think Roman's been the last guy thrown out of the Rumble, I think, four or five times.
Yeah.
Or if he's been in the final three at least five times or six times. But the first time is the most forgettable one. Which, because everybody was pissed off that was the one that Daniel Bryan wasn't in, and Batista throws Roman out at the end, and everybody was chanting for Roman.
Yeah.
And we kind of all forget about that. Yeah, I he was always the golden boy, but why so fast? I have no idea.
Well, it's funny, eh? Because people link back to that and say, see, they wanted Roman, but they didn't want Roman then.
No, they didn't. They wanted Daniel Bryan, and they wanted anyone other than Batista. That's
yeah.
what that was.
So it's, yeah. It's such a bullshit narrative, and they put it out all the time. Like, oh, the fans never know what they want. It's the same thing with Seth Rollins in the past year, where he's like, oh, the fans are ungrateful. They wanted me to be Brock, and now they turned on me. Well, they turned on you because you're an asshole.
Yeah, on
like,
Twitter.
You're clearly an asshole on Twitter. I was watching...
And Rollins' husband is also an asshole.
Yeah, also an asshole.
Yeah, those...
The man's
Sorry,
woman.
Go.
The man's man. He's a man.
He's a man's man.
I was watching an episode of on the WWE Network. The kids love. It's called. It's the prank show. What the hell's it called? Swerved.
Okay.
It's not good, but they love it. And so they do this prank where it's Kofi and he brings people outside, like the building, and then they go back in and the security guard stops them and like lets Kofi in but won't let whoever he's with back in. That's the prank. Right. You get what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
And like everybody's good natured about it. A couple of them are like, you know, like kind of they push back a bit, but it's like they're more like, what's going on? They're laughing. Like they don't think they're being pranked. They're not laughing at anything being pranked. They're laughing because they're good natured people. Seth Rollins doesn't react that way. Like he's like, it's my show. I'm the champion.
Oh.
It was in 2015. I'm the champion. Oh. Who are you? Who are you to keep me out of here? It's like, this is who you're building the company around?
That was the year I just picture him in 2015 wearing nothing but white.
Oh.
That's the year he wore nothing but white, right?
Jen!
Wow. Yeah.
Remember every show started with a fucking Rollins promo?
But they've really been pushing him for a long time, haven't they?
Dude, they've been in the company at the Shield for 8 years.
And it's funny because they still feel young to me. They still feel like, yeah, they haven't really shown me their full potential yet.
But it's also because they're in there with guys that have been there for 20 years.
That's very true,
like,
too.
Like, Randy Orton started in 2002.
Yeah.
It's almost 20 years. It's an interesting time period where no one goes away anymore.
There are no more retirements.
Yeah, or they go to the other company.
They can do that now, yeah.
Yeah, but they don't. Like, I mean, the ones who do or not. Like, I was really hoping Orton would go. I thought that would have been the coolest thing. But
they can just use that now for, you know, more money leverage in the negotiating now.
And good. I want them to take Vince's money.
Yeah.
Like, when you think about how cheap this guy is, like, imagine you're that company, right? This billion-dollar company, right? You make, what, they have 2 million network subscribers, right? So you make, like, between $10 and $20 million a month.
Yep.
On just the network. Never mind the TV rights, never mind the Saudi blood money, never mind the live events or the merchandise. Just on the network, 10 and 20 million a month.
Yep.
You can't pay travel and hotels for people.
Well, they're independent contractors.
Independent contractors.
They signed up for it.
Yeah. Look, I run a theater company that's nowhere near. I mean, I barely make enough to fucking pay for my life, but I pay the travel and hotels for everyone.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's very cool.
Like, but I don't see how we couldn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a when I do comedy and I travel for that, I mean, that's not covered. So sometimes it is. I have to negotiate it in.
Right.
But it's very reminiscent of that, where it's like, well, I can get somebody. It's always playing that over you. Oh, I can get somebody else.
Yeah.
It's always that psychological game. Well, I can get somebody else if you don't want to do it. You know, they'll drive 8 hours for nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The exposure.
Yeah, exactly. Exposure. Yeah. That's the thing. I don't even think it's like a matter of money. It's a matter of dominating. And that's what he enjoys.
Hmm. Like, he likes everybody being dependent and being at his will. Is that what you're trying to?
I think so. Yeah. Because I think if he feels like he's lost, Like JR said in that fart car, like, he feels like he's lost. And that's what keeps him up at night.
Right.
It's not enough that, you know, it's not enough that he doesn't want to use Brody Lee or the Revival or whoever else. It's that he doesn't want them to be able to not like what he was giving them. So he's going to make them sit at home for several months before they go make their living, whatever.
Did you listen to the Brody Lee podcast?
I didn't, but you told me it was super interesting.
Oh, it was super fascinating because they kept adding time to his contract. And he was like, are you going to use me on TV? They're like, nope. then stop adding time. Just let the guy go.
Wow.
Like, why are you paying him to stay at home just so he can't wrestle?
And were they paying him?
Yeah, yeah, they're paying him.
Okay. But it was like the bare minimum.
Of course, because he doesn't offer contracts. He offers opportunity.
Right. Right. And we're going to talk about that with the Sid, our Sid show coming up.
Oh, yeah,
our
Sid show, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a fascinating.
It won't just be us fawning over Sid.
No, it won't. It gives a very different light to that build of 1992 to WrestleMania 8, which is my favorite time period.
Of all time.
Yeah. The whole SummerSlam 91 to WrestleMania 8, I think, is our favorite era. I'm not sure if it's yours. It's definitely mine.
It is. I mean, it is. Yeah. I think you could probably make an argument that most of 98 is probably up there too for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Different palette. It's a different palette. Yeah.
See, and it's interesting because, I knew we were going to talk about Vince tonight. So last night I threw on the September 27th, 98 Raw,
So that's the one after Austin loses the title to Taker and Kane, right?
Yeah, Breakdown 98. And Vince is such a good performer. That's the thing that's so maddening about it, because as much as I want to hate on him for all the bullshit, he's so good as a performer. Like, he comes out at the beginning and he's got the title, the Smoking Skull belt, and he's talking about how it's over his broad shoulder, it's around his svelte waist. Like, he keeps adding these adjectives and then you have it's the Zamboni episode, if it isn't ringing any bells. So Austin jumps over to Zamboni, beats him up, he goes and screams at Austin in the car, and then he gives Kane and Taker the middle finger and they break his leg. It's just like, it's an all-time Vince.
Vince the stairs episode. On the leg.
Yeah. And him screaming. Like, he just screams and screams and screams.
And the place is going absolutely nuts for the that famous leap over the cops onto Vince.
Good. Yeah. It's so – and don't let him in here! Like, when they see him coming on the Titan Tron.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? How are they going to stop him? He's storming.
By the way, what you say about Vince's performance – and I watched this for the opening 10 minutes of the Raw after WrestleMania 14.
Yep.
Vince comes out with a belt, same thing. That's why I loved when he came out with the belt on the Zamboni episode 6 months later, because it's like, okay, we get to start again. Here we go.
Yeah.
What could go wrong this time? But the back and forth between Vince, I think everybody should go and watch this. The back and forth between Steve Austin and Vince McMahon the night after WrestleMania, I believe it was March 30th from Albany, New York, was amazing, because you have subdued Vince. He's not screaming Vince yet.
No.
He's subdued Vince. And he's kind of like, well, I want you to do things the way you want them, but we're going to do things my way. And it's where Austin forces Vince to say he loves him.
Yeah.
You know, where he's like, oh, I love you, pal. Wait, what did you say? He goes, no, I said you were great. He's like, no, that's not what you said. No, I said you're great. You're a great guy. You're great. No, that's not what you said. You said you love me. Well, it's not what I meant. It's like, I want you to say, you love, all right, fine. And then he puts the mic down and says, he goes, no, pick the mic back up. It was just brilliant. It was brilliant back and forth between these two. And I don't even know how it was scripted. It was just brilliant on point between these two. And then it escalated into to Austin giving Vince his second stunner.
Yeah.
But I gotta tell you, it was so good, that back and forth between those guys. I just absolutely loved it.
You know, it probably wasn't scripted. That's the thing.
I think Austin caught him out of nowhere with that.
Yeah.
Because this was it was a back and forth for five times where he's like, no, you said, I heard something different. I want you to say it. And it was just – I've never seen Vince act that good, because it was very subtle.
I think my favorite Vince promo is when he's in the wheelchair with the dogs.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
when,
yeah.
When he's and threatening to fire – I will fire your ass this Sunday.
And that's where he says grapefruits?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the debut of the grapefruits.
I guarantee it. Like, he gets really like –
Yeah,
I think it's a great promo, a heel promo.
But it's also a great visual for people flipping through the channels.
Yeah.
Who's this guy in a wheelchair with dogs barking and a SWAT officer next to him? Like, what's happening?
Screaming at another man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At a redneck. Like, what am I watching here?
With a crowd chanting asshole.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's happening here?
But he's got so many classic moments. Like, I almost wish he just was a performer.
Yeah.
Like, let somebody else run the company. You just, maybe not anymore, but like, man, I can't think of too many things that where he was actively bad. Maybe the match with Stephanie. Maybe the only one.
Yeah, I couldn't even bring myself to watching that match. I hated that feud.
I watched it a couple years ago. It was not good.
No.
Sakai beating his daughter.
Yeah, it was just, it was beyond. Just the way when they go too far with that, and like the year before they had Bischoff and Linda McMahon, and it was just like, all right, this is going too far.
Yeah. Anytime they bring in Linda McMahon, I'm
wait out. A minute, that was the same year. I'm sorry, 2003 was a clunker on storylines. Yeah, that was the same year, 2003, with Bischoff and Linda McMahon.
2003, is that when Kane gets unmasked too?
And Kane, yeah, and then Kane tombstones Linda.
Like, that's it was, right.
Is that it was when, too much.
Is that, oh, and Shane. That's when Shane gets his nuts electrocuted.
Yeah, that's yeah. And when Kane, yeah, exactly.
What a terrible year.
It was a terrible year. It was a really bad year.
You got year. Triple H, like, ruining everything.
Ruining Goldberg. He ruined every WCW performer that year.
Yeah. Ruined Booker T. Ruined Goldberg.
Yeah, even Nash, but we don't have a problem with Nash, but it was, and Steiner, and,
oh,
yeah.
Steiner!
Yeah. I mean, he didn't have to ruin, he didn't even have to wrestle Steiner that year.
How about you don't wrestle for 20 minutes with the guy who hasn't wrestled in like a year?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like, every match. We'll do a Triple H episode.
Like, we'll have to. Yeah.
Not every match needs to be a Triple H style match.
No.
Please. No. I'd rather he just do Vince McMahon style matches. I
ruined Goldberg.
Oh, why did he ruin Goldberg?
Yeah, exactly. You were watching what you were going to say?
Vince against Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 22. It's
oh, that was a great match.
It's so good. And Vince is so legitimately funny in it. Like, he's screaming as he's being chopped. Like, he's never been chopped that hard before. At one point, Vince takes off his belt and whips Michaels with it. And Michaels takes the belt and starts chopping him with the belt. And Vince is, like, screaming, but is also – he's also shocked like that it hurts that much. It's so good. And then the face he makes when Shane – you remember Shane kissing his ass?
Oh, at the end of the match,
no,
right?
It's at the beginning. Like, because Shane comes down, they beat up Sean, right? And Vince is like, oh, here's what I'm doing. He takes his pants off, and he turns around, and Shane's going to shove Michaels' face in his ass, but Michaels counters and puts Shane's face in his ass.
Oh, right.
And Vince is doing this hand gesture, like, more and more. Like, and Jim Ross jumped fire in that match, too. He just hates Vince so much.
Well, that was when Vince was doing the proctology thing from the fall, and that was JR's first telecast back, I think,
oh,
or second telecast. Yeah, because we had Joey Styles the whole winter.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I throughout the match, though, Jim Ross keeps saying Shawn Michaels was raped of his dignity, but also castrated of his dignity.
That's horrible.
I've never heard anyone confuse rape and castrated.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah.
It's not the same thing at all. He does have an amazing call, though, when Vince takes a chair shot. I don't think I've ever heard a louder chair shot. And it was right after Harry Carey died. And Ross screams, Harry Carey, heard that one in heaven. It was perfect.
Yeah, that was perfect. Yeah, that's good old JR right there.
Yeah. Hating on Vince, JR.
What match is it where it's JR screaming, take that, you son of a bitch? What?
Is it a Vince match?
It has to be a Vince match.
Take that, you son of a bitch! I remember him doing it to Paul Heyman the night Lawler comes back.
Oh, yeah, there was that. Yeah.
Heyman tries to jump him, and he just starts... you hear him grunting, and it's the grunting that's amazing.
Oh, boy.
So what's the solution with Vince? Like, it's just getting worse, right? I mean, he pushed out WrestleMania on us this year.
He did.
And, like, there are people that will never turn on this guy and support him no matter what he does.
Yeah.
And I don't understand.
What's interesting is that these the Firefly match and the Boneyard match – I mean, you and I liked the Firefly match. We weren't crazy about the Boneyard match, but – is that he – I think the thing is that he pulled a rabbit out of his hat again, and that is what kept people from saying this is ridiculous, because this was already ridiculous.
Yeah.
WrestleMania, just having WrestleMania was already ridiculous. It's like how are they defeating space and time and not endangering themselves? And now it's – you know, now he's going way too far. But even at that, had he not pulled the rabbit out of his hat with those two cinematic matches, would we be talking about WrestleMania in any kind of positive way?
I don't think so. And I mean, I'm not even one of the people that like. I mean, I don't even really like the Boneyard match. In fact, I really don't like it. I think it's kind of shitty. But
you and I didn't like it, and it's funny because everybody online loved it. You and I are different than that, and it's funny. I find that funny. And then you and I adored the Firefly match.
Yeah, but I think it... Because there's nothing creative about the Boneyard match. Like, it's just a bad action film. Like, and it was well shot, and it looked good, like all the things that people said, but it's just Undertaker walking around for 20 minutes punching people and then beating up 10 guys. And then, like, I don't know. It just didn't do it for me at all.
It was like, I think we spoke about it and I said, you know, it was trying to be a Western, but then violating the laws of a Western with, you know, he's in the grave and then he's popping up behind him. And
yeah.
And Western fights just don't go that long.
I have a buddy named Chad Campbell, and he mentioned to me that it was like Undertaker's trying to be Clint Eastwood.
It's totally what that was.
Yeah,
that was completely what that was.
Yeah, and it's like he's just not the right, but everybody's slipping out over it, so I understand I'm in the minority opinion. But
yeah, whereas the other one was it was surrealism. It was a genre of film of surrealism, and it was completely psychological, and it completely was John Cena allowing his total character to be destroyed, which actually put over both guys.
Yeah, and it was like it was something completely different.
Completely different.
Like the Boneyard match wasn't completely different. It was different in terms of the way they shot it, but it's still just two guys punching each other, which is the same match they had with Edge and Orton, right?
Yeah, just better shot. Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, the Firefly match was really interesting because exactly it broke down his character. There were clearly stages to it, like. And, like, it kept Bray Wyatt out of the ring, so I was happy.
Well, it kept them both out of the ring, but yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if John Cena can, but, like, you know, watching all these pay-per-view years back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back, right? Like, there's not a guy who has more great matches than John Cena.
No, he did age like a fine wine.
It's crazy. But then when I look back at matches that I didn't like at the time, like, he was really good early, too.
But he came out of an era where we didn't want him. We had Angle and we had Michaels and Batista and all these other stars, and we were like, well, why him?
Yeah. But
In retrospect, we can understand.
Well, even then, though, he was the most over of them. It wasn't
in the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't until the summer of his first title reign.
Where he's wrestling Jericho that year.
Yeah, and they started booing him against Jericho. But they also took away his edge the same way they do it. They've been taking away guys' edge since Diesel.
Yeah, and they tried to do it with Austin.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't let them.
Well, he was smart, right?
Yeah.
They couldn't do it to Austin. They couldn't do it to Rock, right?
Right.
Because you can't change that.
Yeah, they killed Diesel. They absolutely killed Diesel.
Yeah, they I want to say they almost killed Triple H. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I wish they would have, but like making him like the father of this dog that gets hurt, like what? Just trying to garner any sympathy for him.
Oh, was that the feud with Orton?
Jericho when he came back in 2002.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah, that was a terrible.
And then Stephanie has to like leave him at the altar, and like that's not why people were cheering for him.
No.
Like, yeah. They always have to ruin. I think I just heard an interview. Oh God, who was it? It was Brody Lee. It was Brody Lee. He said in 2014, CM Punk said this to him. He said, "Here's the thing you have to understand about WWE. It's never going to be as good as you want it to be."
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's a pretty hard truth right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I don't know what the future brings with Vince, but I mean, there's gonna be some sort of backlash. I mean, if there's gonna be someone getting sick, you know, I really hope not.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like part of me is like, I want him to learn his lesson, but he's never gonna learn his lesson.
No.
When you think about all the people that have died.
Well, I mean, look, he's starting to. I mean, things are starting to shake, right? Because now he's lost the XFL. You know, he's lost his live events. He's lost his pay-per-view because he sabotaged that himself.
Right.
So things are starting to crumble. They are. And, you know, people are trying to jump ship. So, I mean, it's not all in one fell swoop, but it means things aren't happening.
But they have more money than they've ever had. Like, he's found a way to make money without anybody watching the product.
That's right. Unless somehow, you know, I don't buy this whole angle of Fox is going to cancel WWE if they don't maintain their contracts. I just don't see that happening because there would be too much backlash on that.
That's such bullshit. That's bullshit, yeah, right there.
Because the context of the contract that was signed was not under a pandemic. The context was we're a live event company, and Fox wanted live programming to counter, DVR. I can understand that. And that's why they got so much money, because there's not much live programming left. I totally get that. TV is dying. I get that. To counter like Netflix, that kind of thing. That's why they were worth so much money.
Yeah.
I get that. I mean, and not through anything that Vince did, just because of the nature of what they put on.
Yeah.
I get that. But yeah, but I find it hard to believe that Fox would, you know, cancel them for breach of contract. Unless, I mean, hey, maybe they did. I don't know. But all in all, it's not worth young people being put at risk here.
I think if they were to do it, it's a mask for why they really want to cancel them. Where, like, I think their first week they had like 4 million viewers, and now they're down to like barely 2.
They've been putting on terrible shows.
Well, that's it. The shows are bad. But that's just not a pandemic thing. That's – man, I can't sit through any of these shows anymore.
No. And that's why we chose to do this kind of podcast, which is like, well, we want to take moments and snippets and then riff from there, whereas we don't want to have to like focus on, you know, what's happening and I mean, we'll talk about it, but where we focus it is the clip and then work out from there.
That's it. Like, look at that thing we quoted before. Don't use 5-star match or match a year of the commentators if the match meant nothing. The matches never mean anything anymore.
Right. I was watching an early Saturday night's main event, and it was Vince. Oh, I was watching the main event,
the first one.
Yeah, and Vince and Jesse are screaming the entire show.
Yeah,
as they should be.
The worst thing that happens in WWE commentary now is when they get quiet and tired. I remember a couple of years ago. I think it was one of the February shows where Titus O'Neil fought Darren Young. Like when the primetime players exploded. Not a great angle. The primetime players explode. Not a great angle. Not a great match. But the announcers just drop down to like dead mode. And it's like, no, it's your job to make this sound exciting. That's your entire job.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't imagine Vince doing that. Like, but by the same token, those people are so micromanaged that like, I don't know how they're able to function at all.
And then it was probably Vince telling them to pull it back because he wanted to not push that feud forward.
Then why put it on TV?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, and then it's funny because when you listen to the Pritchard podcast, he'll often be like, does it make sense that we pushed a guy and we put him on TV just to bury him? And it's like, you're right, it doesn't make sense, but then you're fucking incompetent.
Well, and it's also they have so many hours of TV to fill.
Right.
So that does make sense. And maybe not in Pritchard's 80s era where you have very limited TV. But today, yeah, I could see that for sure. I could see that any time in the last 15 years happening.
I don't get it. He must be sad. He must be a sad person. Like, I can't imagine him being happy. He works, what, like 20 hours a day? In a business that he seems to hate. Like, and everything he's ever tried outside of wrestling has failed.
Well, I think the XFL will come back one day.
another 20 years.
I love how – I mean, the first headline I saw for the XFL, like this one, like it was last week, is like, XFL goes out of business again. Yeah. And it was too bad because this one apparently had promise.
I mean, I'm not a football guy, but everybody in the group chats I'm in seem to like it.
They did, yeah. And then, you know, they had some good people. You know, it's a good, you know, Mark Trestman was here in Montreal, and he led the Alouettes to a couple of Grey Cups, and he, you know, coached the Bears in the NFL, so.
Did they win any of those Grey Cups?
The Owls?
Did they win one?
Yeah, they won two with him back to back.
Two?
In 09 and 010. And 10, yeah.
010?
In well, it is 010. 2010.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. And then they won in 03, I think.
With Tracy Ham?
02. No. No, Tracy Ham was – no. It was – all of them were Calvillo.
When was Doug Flutie?
He was the late 90s, but he was not from Montreal.
No,
he beat Montreal a lot.
Right. He was from Calgary and then Toronto, right?
Right. And from Boston.
CFL talk in the wrestling podcast.
Yeah, I think that means it's time to wrap this up.
Well, before we do, let's just go through one last little list of words that he doesn't want you to use. This is a quick one. I want your thoughts on each of them, all right?
All right.
Don't use this business or our industry.
I don't understand, because isn't that every Triple H promo?
Yes, it is. Maybe you just want Triple H to shut up. Don't use the word feud.
Because we don't write them anymore.
Don't use the word war.
It was our most popular television show, but okay.
Don't use performance, performer, or choreograph. I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with choreograph, yeah. And
don't use house show. Use live event.
Okay.
Backstage. Don't use backstage. Use in the back or in the locker room area. I guess they don't want the word stage.
Stage, but there's entertainment. Okay, yeah.
They're going to entertain you. Don't use pro wrestling or pro wrestler. Use superstar, star, or athlete.
Yeah, that was the egregious one.
It's so stupid. International. Don't use international. Use global.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. They're a global company now.
Don't use the word interesting.
Really?
Yeah, it's just an arbitrary word. Don't use DQ. Don't use talent. Use star, superstar, diva. Don't use me, I, or other pronouns.
Yeah, that's the famous no pronoun usage.
Isn't that the biggest part, biggest hypocrisy from him, though?
Why?
What's his most famous, like, commentary call?
And he gets in.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. No, he doesn't. Yeah.
He got him. No, he didn't. Yeah, nothing exactly. But pronouns in there, pal.
Yeah.
Don't use U.S. Use United States. Don't use fans. When possible,
Universe.
Refer to the
Universe.
Audience as you.
Wait, don't use U.S. or use the United States and not U.S.?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't use hospital. Use medical center. Don't use faction. Use group. Please use now available instead of on sale.
Okay.
Insane.
Yeah, totally insane.
Yeah, just a crazy, sad man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's all about the branding. These are all marketing terms.
Yeah.
These are all marketing terms. And then just hammer home the names.
Right. So we hammer know home. Everybody's name is, but we don't care about any of them
anymore.
Well,
it's like when we're lulled into a sense of complaint and boredom, they just hammer home the names, and so we just get hypnotized into the branding of the character, and there you go.
The big dog!
The big dog.
Oh, it's the big dog. All right. Well, listen. This has been fun, my friend.
Very fun.
We got to keep this going. Those of you who are listening, look, we got all kinds of great content on the North South Wrestling Podcast Network. Check out Extreme Three Way Dance, Chad Campbell's Fighting Spirit of 06, Jacob Williams' Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, Jeff Learns Wrestling, JT and I's No Holds Barred, The Wrestling War Zone. I've got Another Year That Was coming up, and any and all podcasts that go up. Subscribe, let us know what you think. And for us, Reg, you can reach me at Aaron D. George on Twitter, or you can hit me up in a group. And what I'd like is if you guys have any clips or anything, please send them to us.
Yeah, you know, sure.
We look at stuff all the time, but I mean, if there's something you want us to take a look at, we'll take a look at it and see where the conversation goes from there. Cool?
Sounds good to me.
Anything else you want to add, my man?
No, just keep it easy and keep it sleazy. I don't know what I'm saying. Be safe, everyone. I'm going to have a better catchphrase for when we sign off the next time.
Discipline.
If you wanted to, this is Reg. If you wanted to try me, all you had to do was just try me.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.